Need a change maybe today of an attitude. Excuse me, an attitude. Maybe you've had a bad attitude lately. I don't know what kind of change you need in your life. It might be, watch this, a change, y'all listen, a change of friends. Or maybe a change of focus. Might be a change of vision. Some may need some changes in your job. I don't know what kind of change, but certainly changes are all around us. I love this time of the year. The leaves on the trees are changing and temperatures are changing. And yet, I want to ask you point blank, what kind of changes do you need in your life today? Maybe you've been leaving God out of your life. You may not be exactly where the Lord wants you to be. We're going to look today at a man, really he's a little boy. And this young boy who became a man was very instrumental in being a leader of the nation of Israel, primarily Judah. Hey, do you know anybody that's 8 years old that would become king? Do we have anybody here that's 8 years old? Who's here under 10? Let me see your hand. Under 10. All right, nobody under 10. Can you imagine being 8 years old, being a king? We're going to see today in the Bible a boy 8 years old who came under a tutelage of another who became king. And guess what else? This 8-year-old, by the time he was 16 years old, you know what he did? He started seeking the Lord. He started having a heart for God. How many believe that's a good thing to have a heart for God? The Bible says, as a deer that is a hart pants after water at the water brook, so the Psalm 42 does my soul pant after thee, O God. Oh yes, that's our life's highest ambition, is to know not just about Jesus in our head, but to experience him in our heart, in our everyday life. He is well worth knowing. Somebody say amen. He's well worth knowing. And if you really don't know him today, you might know about him. You might have read the stories about him, but do you really know him in a personal way? That is what we all need to come to, a personal relationship with this living God in whom we are worshiping today. But you know what else happened? This young boy, he went from 16, he went to the age of 20. And you know what he did at the age of 20? What were you doing at the age of 20? I thought about my life when I was 20. You know what he did? He began to tear down these idols. He began to do away with false gods. How many believe there's only one true living God? It's the God of the Bible. Yes, it is. It's namely a person, the person of the Lord Jesus. He came as fully God and fully man. But wait a minute. Do you know what this young boy we're going to learn about today and read about today? He grew to be a man at 20. And you know what he did at the age of 26? What were you doing at the age of 26? How many of you are 26 years old or younger? Let me see your hand. 26 years old or younger. We got a bunch of old folks today in church. I'm just kidding. How many are 26 years or under 26 years old? I'm looking at a bunch of folks that are under. Come on, raise your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Hey, by the way, you don't have to wait till you get older to serve God. You can serve God now. That's a good place to say amen. I met a lady. I told you about it last week. I visited her on Friday. Guess what Friday was? Friday was her 100th year birthday. Can you imagine being born in 1915? This lady's 100 years old. Her name's Ruby. And you know what I did when I asked her? I said, Ruby, you've turned 100 today. Congratulations. I said, and she stays by herself. Well, I take that back. She stays with her sister, who is 98 and will be 99 July the 25th. What do you think about that? And guess what that sister did for her other sister? At the age of 98 years old, I went to visit them the other day, and she was baking a cake for her sister. She said, I think I'll wait and put the icing on tomorrow. Anyway, I asked Ruby, I said, Ruby, you're 100 years old. How do you feel? I said, how do you feel every morning when you wake up? She said, surprised. Anyway, hope you're not surprised today, but at 26 years old, you know what this young man did? This young man started rebuilding the temple. That is, he started repairing the house of God. How many believe the house of God is very important? It really ought to be a very priority in all of our lives. Oh, we don't worship a building. No, we are the church of the living God. But, hey, look, this king understood the importance of a place of worship. Tell me, is a place of worship important to you? I said, is a place of worship important to you? We ought to get with the Lord, not only on Sunday, praise God, but every day of the week. I want to preach for a little while on the subject. I don't know what you want to title this message. Don't you think it's about time for a change? Don't you think it's about time for a change? Or you might want to title the message, World Changers. World Changers. I want to invite you to take your Bibles, and I'm going to give you, with the Lord's help, four tests. You're one of those that like to take notes. There's four tests that I want to ask you today to see if you need a change, to see if you are one of these world changers. And so if you've got your Bibles, turn please to the book of 2 Chronicles. That's in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I've been studying and reading about this man, and I felt impressed of the Lord to share it with you today, especially in the light of all the changes that are taking place in our world. 2 Chronicles chapter number 34. And if you like to stand reading the Word of God, which I do, and you don't have to, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And there are four tests that we're going to take today to see what kind of change you need in your life today. Oh, yes, I believe, beloved, you may not agree with me. I think some of you will be with me on this page, but I believe America needs an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, devil-defying, Christ honoring revival, and nothing short of a Holy Ghost heaven sent revival is going to turn this nation around. We need God in America again. And God's judgment is already on the America. Hey, look, I know some of you saying, oh my soul, here's one of these gloomy, doomy preachers. Oh no, I do not believe gloomy and doomy. I think God is still on the throne. I believe the promises of God are yea, and in Jesus are amen. He's still got mighty power. In fact, for the record's sake, we're going to read about a time was a dark, gloomy time in the life of God's people. And yet there was a revival, a spiritual awakening, a stir of the people of God during this one event, and we're going to read in a moment. I believe God can do it again. But wait a minute, let me just remind you, whether God sends a Holy Ghost revival in the White House or in the courthouse or in the schoolhouse or at the church house, the revival ought to start at your house and my house. That's where it starts. And by the way, I know we need revival. You know how I know that? Because these nine people robed in black, would you ever believe we'd see a day when the majority, I dare say, in my personal opinion, does not endorse same-sex marriages, and yet the Supreme Court has voted for us to approve, endorse the same-sex marriages in America. Did you ever think we'd live to see such a day? We need a mighty move of God, nothing short of God's mighty hand to be extended. It's going to turn the course of this nation. I'm telling you, I would not have seen and believed had I not have read it. Would you believe we'd see a day when the coach of a high school football team is told you can't pray with your players, you can't do this, and then eject him off the field, and it's not just in Jasper County, it's another one I read about over in another state. They have literally put him on leave and fired him for praying at a football game. It's a late hour. Wait a minute. It's time the blood washed, the church of the living God stands up and is counted and says enough is enough. We don't serve the devil. We still serve our God, and our God's a mighty God. He can still do great things. We don't care if it hair lifts the devil. We're going to hold forth the word of God and follow the bloodstained banner of the cross. And the church said, yes, amen. And so we come to this text today. Hold on your seat. Buckle up your seatbelt. In the text in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if you're there, say amen. All right, verse 1. Josiah, say it with me. Josiah, one more time. Josiah. Have you read about this good king? Wait a minute. Let me say this parenthetically. Did you know that Josiah had a bad daddy? That is, his daddy didn't do right in the sight of God, nor did his granddaddy. His granddaddy was Manasseh, and Ammon was his daddy, and neither did right. But just because your mom and daddy don't do right doesn't give you and me excuse not to do right. Look at verse 1. Josiah was what? 8 years old. You wouldn't have believed it had you not read it. 8 years old. I told you that earlier, remember? And he's under the tutelage. He's 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem, how long? 1 and 31 years. 1 and 30 years. Let's see. 8 plus 31 equals what? 39. Very good. You're very good in math. You passed the test. Hey, he's 39 years old when he finishes his reign. But wait a minute. Look at verse 2. He did that what was right in the sight of the Lord. Underline that word right. He did that what was right. By the way, you know it's never wrong to do right, and it's never right to do wrong. Can I say that again? It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. But he did right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 2, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. And verse 3 reads this way, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. That's when he's 16 years old. 8 years in his reign. He began at 8 years old. 8 plus 8 equals what? 16. He's 16 years old, and he begins to seek God. Young people, listen to me. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul said, let no man despise thy youth. How many believe that if this country is going to be turned back to God, it's going to certainly need some of our younger generation coming alongside and saying, hallelujah, we believe God. God, and let God be true and every man a liar. How many parents want to see your children to grow up to be giants, killers for God? How many want to see your grandchildren to take a stand for righteousness? How many want to see your sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters to make a difference in this world? How many want to see that? Amen. Yes, I believe you do, and that's what you hear. I'll finish in reading, and then you can sit down as I finish verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, that makes him 20 years old. 12 plus 8 equals 20. The 12th year, he began to purge Judah. I mentioned that a moment ago. And Jerusalem from the high places and the groves as false gods, false religion, idolatry, and the craved images and the molten images. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to a heart today. God's watching you and me, how we're going to respond to the word of God today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love. Lord, I don't understand how you could love me, but you do. And Jesus, I don't understand how you could forgive my sins, but I thank you. Your blood has washed all my sins away. And Lord, I bless you for your goodness every day. We come today, Father, to say hallelujah, to say we love you, to say we bless you, to say, Father, you've sure been good to me. I don't deserve your blessings, God, but you've poured them out upon us. And we're asking now, Father, as the physical rain have come and replenished the earth. You said the rains will not return void. I pray the word of God will fall on good ground today. And we thank you. The word is forever set in heaven. We confess our helplessness. Lord, we confess that we're needy creatures today. And I'm in need of a touch from heaven. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God to be on us and on the listeners and on the hearers and on our hearts. May we respond just according to what you'd have us to respond to today. Oh, have your will and way in this place, bind every wicked spirit, and Lord, loose your mighty power in this place, and bring us, dear God, to a place of absolute unconditional surrender to your will and to your way and to your word, because you are the King of glory, and you're the Word of the living God. And we thank you, precious Lord, for your saving grace. Save the lost, revive the saved today. Stir our hearts and help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And when all said and done, we'll give you the praise for it. I thank you for every person here today. Encourage the discouraged. Lift up those that are depressed. Father, and those that are anxious and worried, I pray, God, that you'll lift up the clouds of discouragement and anxiety and worry. And Lord, you'll just help us to rest in your promises and in your peace. And we give you thanksgiving because of who you are, in Jesus' mighty name. And all the church said, amen and amen and amen. Hey, there's four tests I want to give you as we go through the scripture. It's a time of gloominess and doominess. It's a time of idolatry. And yet God raised up a man for such a time as this. I believe with all my heart, God has called us to be world changers. I believe the Lord has called us to make a difference while there's time. And I got news for you. I don't know about you, but I believe there's some in the house of God today that you'd say, praise God, Brother Pastor. You can count on me, Brother Pastor. I've come too far now. I'm not planning on turning back now. I'm going to keep on running with Jesus, walking with Jesus, and living a godly life for him because of his mighty grace for me. I'm not planning on being apostate and turning my back. I want to know him and follow him. Have you determined to do that in your heart? Have you determined to do that until your last breath that you take? I hope you have. Well, here's four tests I want to give you to see if you need a change. Number one, the first test, and hold on your seat now. The first test is this. I'll explain in a moment. Where are you politically? Pastor, we're at church. You ought not be talking about politics at church. Hey, wait a minute. I'll show you what I'm talking about in a moment. Number two, not only where are you politically, number two, where are you spiritually? All of this is derived from the text, by the way. We're going to come to verse 8 in a moment, and then we're going to skip over there to verse 13, and then we're going to skip over to verse 21, and then we're going to skip over to verse 29. All four questions are derived from the text. We call that exposition. We call that expository preaching. I didn't say suppository, amen. Somebody say that. But anyway, hey, you did hear about them two ladies, didn't you? One lady said to another lady, she sat down, two ladies at a retirement center. I'm with older people all the time. Y'all just got to bear with me, Brother Pastor. You got to hang around some old people if you want to be have a little merry, a little laugh every now and then. But two older people were sitting down. One sat down and looked at the other lady. She said, Mildred, what you got in your... She said, Mildred, what you got? Look in your ear. Mildred, you got a suppository in your ear. What do you got the suppository in your ear? Mildred said, uh-oh, now I know where my hearing aid is, all right? Did you hear about the lady who was over 100 years old, and they said, ma'am, by the way, a merry heart do good like medicine. If you don't believe that, it's in the Bible, Proverbs 17:22. I'm looking at a crowd that's so stressed out, it do you some good to smile and laugh every once in a while. Did you hear about the older man? He was up there over 100, and the doctor said to him, the doctor said to him, man, you're hard of hearing. How many wives know your husband's hard of hearing? Somebody say amen. Yeah. Daniel just had a birthday. I know. He turned a big 4'6". I'm not saying you're hard of hearing, Daniel, but I'm saying sometimes I think we're hard of, we call that selective hearing, Brother Calvin. That's what we call it, Kale. Anyway, the man was over 100 years old. The doctor said, you want to hear an aid? He said, nope, I've heard too much as it is. I don't want to hear it anymore. All right, that's it. I don't want to hear it anymore. Well, anyway, where was I at? I was talking for a moment about this first question, and it's this. Where are you politically? Secondly, where are you spiritually? Thirdly, where are you prophetically? Fourthly, where are you practically? First, where are you politically? Look with me in the text. Here's where I get that from. Verse 8, follow with me. Where are you politically? Look what this king did. King, what was his name? Come on, talk to me. What was his name? Josiah, good. Verse 8, now in the 18th year, let's see, if he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and 18 plus 8 equals? 18 plus 8 equals? Good. He's 26 years old. Now, in the 18th year of the reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan. You know who Shaphan was? He was like the Secretary of State. I hope he wasn't like our president, Anyway, now we need to pray for those in authority. But anyway, Shaphan, notice he is the son of Azaliah. And then look at this next man's name, Messiah. Say it with me, Messiah. Say it again, Messiah. Who's Messiah? Guess who he is? He's the governor. Look at it. You can see right after his name. In verse number 8, and the son of Azariah and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair. I like this part. To repair what? The house of the Lord his God. You see, that was important to him. Worshiping God was important to him. Somebody says every once in a while, preacher, I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship God on a creek bank, and I can worship God in a deer stand. I don't deny you can't worship God in a creek bank and a deer stand, but more than likely, you're not worshiping God if you're on a creek bank or a deer stand on the Lord's day. Most likely, if you wait to, you ought to worship God everywhere you're at. But wait a minute. Those who say, well, I had a man tell me this last week. He said, preacher, I don't believe in all this organized religion. I don't believe in organized religion either. Bless God, I believe in a relationship with the living God. Somebody say amen. If your idea about the church is organized religion, you've got a false information about the Bible right here. You just need to pick up this New Testament and read about how Paul wrote to those churches of Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica, or Thessalonica as some call it, and then the other churches like Rome. And furthermore, hey, wait a minute, I don't know why I'm preaching this, I wasn't planning on it, but what's important to Jesus ought to be important to us, and what Jesus loves, I ought to love. You know what the Lord says in Ephesians 5:25? He loved the church and he gave himself for the church. That's exactly right. Check it out if you don't believe me. And by the way, those who are technicalities and say, preacher, yeah, but I don't think the church is, this building and all, da, 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 da. You know what the word church is? It's the word ecclesia. Ek meaning called out ones. Glesia meaning assemble. Assemble called out ones. Somebody says, preacher, I can be this lone ranger out on an island somewhere, and you know what I find out when I hear and talk with somebody like that? I'm not being critical, but I'm just telling you what I found out. Here's what I found out. It reminds me of that old boy that was shipwrecked on an island. He was out there on an island all by himself now, and they finally sent some rescue ships to rescue him. When they finally rescued this old boy on an island by himself, you know what they discovered? They said to him, said, sir, I noticed that on the island there was a building right there. I believe that was your home. Yes, sir, it was. That was my home. Well, we noticed a second building on that island. It had a steeple on it. It looked like a church. You build that? Yes, sir, I did. But wait a minute. We understand. We saw something strange, and it looked like a third building on that island. It looked like another church on that island. You by yourself. Can you explain? The man said, yeah, I can explain. I used to go to that church right there, and then I got my feelings hurt, and I went to the other church. Oh, brother, that hurts. Hey, that hurts. Come on, somebody, talk to me. Hey, look, you're not going to find the perfect church, and I'm not going to find the perfect church either. Fact is, if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. I know you don't like to hear that, brother and sister, but wait a minute. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. There's one that's perfect. It's Jesus, and we better keep our eyes on him. I just like to cut through the chase. Hey, where are you politically? You know what happens? Here, this old boy, Josiah, he's a young man at this time. He gets his buddies together. He gets that Messiah, who is the governor. And you know what he does? He says, I want y'all to get together, and I want y'all to, we're going to get a collection. I'm going to tell you the narrative of the story. I want to get a collection, and then I want to go and repair the house of God. You can read the book of Habakkuk. You can read the other books in the Old Testament, and namely Haggai, the book of Haggai in the book of the little minor prophet book. Haggai, the bottom line is this: if a man does not bless the house of God, he can't expect God to bless his house. Read Haggai. Haggai, in those days, the people had money in their pocket. They were driving their fancy cars. They were living in nice houses, and the house of God was going kapooey. And Haggai saying, you folks, your money's going to burn a hole in your pocket. If you don't believe me, read the book of Haggai. I'm telling you. Oh, yes, we want a little religion nowadays. We want a God who we want to conjure in our mind, who'll be what we want him to be, rather than to come under the authority of the Word of God. Somebody ought to say amen. Tell you, I'm going to preach myself happy in a minute. We live in a culture now, in a generation now that, anyway, so be it. Hey, politically speaking, how many believe that if ever there was a time we need some men to stand up and not be ashamed of the gospel? I'm talking about men in leadership positions. I'm talking about leadership positions in this nation. I'm talking about men. We need some men that'll have some backbone, that'll have some courage, that'll have some vision, that'll have some faith. They won't care what the secular world says about it. They'll say, bless God, let God be true and every man a liar. We need some men in our nation today who will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ and not ashamed to be called a Christian and not be ashamed of the church of the living God. God, raise up some men like that for your glory. Tell me, will you be that man? Will you be that woman? Will you take a stand? Do you compromise when people start talking negatively about the Word of God? I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. I'm just talking about being good salt and a bright light in a dark world. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's not worth good for nothing, be trotted down under the feet of men. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's high time that we stop catering to the wind blowing. According on how many votes, if the wind's blowing this way, I'll be a chameleon. I'll turn green. If it's blowing this way, I'll turn brown. We need some blood-washed children of God who've got enough God in them. They don't care what the world thinks of. I need some help right there. I'm telling you, God's talking to some men today, women today, to be soldiers sold out to God. Hey, one plus God's a majority. We've got too many sissies and too many yellow-bellied jellyfish backbone men who won't take a stand and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I don't care if it hair lifts the devil, praise God. We're going to take back the ground the enemy's taken. If this nation's going to see an old-fashioned revival, it's going to start in your heart. It's going to start in my heart. I say, God, send the fire from heaven and may it burn out the dross and bring glory to your name. Is there any men here? Are there any women here that are concerned about our nation and about our community and about our homes that'll say, oh God, let the fire fall from heaven? We've gotten complacent. We've gotten lukewarm. You know, while others are looking to the White House, may I remind you, God's looking to the church house. I want to say that again. While others are faulting and belly aching and mully grubbing about the White House, God's looking to the church house. I'm glad Josiah, he didn't care what folks thought about him. Did you hear about the politicians riding in an airplane? And I'm going to tell you something. We've got some men here in Jasper County I thank God for. I'm not telling the perfect, but I'll tell you about them in a moment. You hear about the politician was flying in an airplane? He said, he looked down and there's some people cheering and he looked at his friend and he said, I think I'll throw a picture of myself down there and make some of them happy. His friend said, on second thought, why don't you throw yourself down there and make them all happy, all right? You know what politics means, don't you? Poly means many, ticks means blood-sucking creature. Politics, many blood-sucking creature, all right? You'll get it later, all right? Hey, look. By the way, you heard about that old boy that robbed the old boy, didn't you? That thief, he got up, he got a gun, and he said to this man, he put his gun in his back, he held up his hands, he said, give me your money. The man said, what? He said, give me your money. And the man said, you don't know who I am. He said, I am a United States congressman. And the thief said, well, then give me my money. Anyway, you'll get it later. Josiah, hey, look, I'm glad to tell you, wait a minute, we had an old-fashioned National Day of Prayer. How many believe prayer is important? How many are going to make your way to an old-fashioned altar in a moment, see how important prayer is? Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it? Wait a minute. Because we had an old-fashioned National Day of Prayer down in Jasper County back in May, recognizing the National Day of Prayer. I'm telling you, I'm glad. Thank God. Praise God. We've got a man. I'm not saying he's perfect, nor am I. But I'm saying we got a man, Donnie Pope, for example, the sheriff of Jasper County. I asked him as I sent him an email. I said, will you come, Donnie, and share a testimony? Will you come and pray? You're the sheriff of Jasper County. And I know he's a Christian, praise God. It was about 10 years ago. I was on his ordination service down at Enid Baptist Church, was ordained as a deacon, known Donnie for a number of years, and I know he's in a tough position right now. He's come to the church here. He's come down front. We prayed for him, but I want to tell you, he wasn't ashamed to be called a Christian. And I'll tell you, when I handed the microphone over there to Donnie Pope and he started praying, I said, bless God, he prays longer than the pastor does. I almost grabbed the microphone back from him. I said, Donnie, your time's up, man. Anyway, he prayed. He shared a testimony. It was glorious. And then, hey, how about Mike Newton? Dr. Mike Newton. How many know him? He's the state superintendent or the superintendent of Jasper County. I asked Mike. I said, Mike, will you come? Mike used to come to church here a number of years ago, just kind of visiting off and on. Anyway, I said, will you come and pray, Mike? National Day of Prayer. Mike said, I'd be honored to. He came up and led in a prayer. I said, praise God. We've got some men and some other people came to that meeting. I'm telling you this, if we ever needed a time for some men to stand up and to speak up and to dress up and to look up, it's right now. Can God count on you? Will you look up now? Will you stand up now? Will you stand up and be counted? Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. And the picture is a bird hopping from limb to limb. Hey, look, God's calling you for a total surrender. The Lord's saying, I don't want to be Lord. If I'm not Lord of all, I don't want to be Lord at all. Has there ever been a point in a time in your life when you've let go of your life and let go of that hurt and let go of that anger and let go of that bitterness and said, Jesus, consume me. Jesus, fill me. Jesus, take me and make me everything you want me to be. I've got news for you. If you'll do that, you'll never be sorry. Have you done that? Oh, yes. First, where are you politically? Secondly, where are you spiritually? Look at the text, verse 13. And when they brought out the money that was brought in the house of the Lord, verse 14. Notice verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought in the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found what? What's the next word? A book. What kind of book? Book of the law. Book of the law of who? Book of the law of the Lord. Who was it given by? Moses. Very good. Now look what happens, verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Look at verse 16. And Shaphan carried the book to the king. Now what was the king's name? Good. What was the king's name? Josiah, you with me? Verse 16, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying that all was committed to thy servants. They do it. Verse 17, and they that have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And then Shaphan the scribe told the king, verse 18, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, or the book. And Shaphan read it before the king. You can't miss this next part. Don't miss it now. Verse 19. It came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law, the book, the Bible, the written scripture, that he bowed up. Is that what your Bible says? That he got mad? Then he said, I don't believe this book is written by a bunch of men anyway, and they didn't, they had a bunch of error in it. Is that what it is? No. What'd he do? He rent his clothes. I'll tell you what. We take our Bibles for granted. If you got your Bible with you, would you hold it up? I want to see it. Don't take your Bible for granted, beloved. Don't take your Bible for granted, beloved. The Word of God is precious, and we don't realize how precious it is until we don't have it anymore. But there was a famine in the land. They had not read the book in a long time. Where would you be without the Bible? Where would I be? I'd be lost. I would be starving spiritually. I need the Word every day. The Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Word. I want to be personal. I don't mean to be ugly, but I want to ask a personal question. Does your Bible, from the time you leave on Sunday, does it go to your car, throw it in the back seat, throw it on the dash, and just sit there till the next Sunday? Or do better yet, do you take it home and throw it on the coffee table or on the kitchen table and never crack it until the next Sunday? Oh, my. All I'm saying is this. Hey, look, if you went with one meal a week, if you ate one meal a week, you would get sick and probably die. Oh, wait a minute. You got to have food every day. Somebody say amen. You've got to have nourishment every day. How much more do we need the nourishment of the Word of God? Jesus said it this way: man shall not live on bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I hear somebody saying, "Ah, you preachers are all the same. Y'all are a bunch of legalists. Y'all think that I'm going to hell just because I don't read my Bible." No, I didn't say you were going to hell just because you don't read your Bible. I'm saying you'll go to hell if you don't get saved. That's what I'm saying. If you don't get Jesus in your heart, you will. But I'm saying this. You'll be a carnal Christian. You'll be a pygmy Christian. You'll wait around in the baby pool until you get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you. It's the power of God. In fact, Paul said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In fact, it was Jeremiah that said, "It's like a fire shut up in my bones. It's like a hammer." That is the Word of God that breaks in pieces. It was a psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105, that said, "The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path." It was the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It was the writer to Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, that said, "The Word of God is quick." And that word "quick" is the word zoe, where we get our word life. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut and pierce bone and marrow, able to judge intention of any human heart. It was the Lord Jesus that prayed in that golden prayer in John 17 when he said in verse 17, "Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." It was Paul who said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." All, every single part of the whole is given by pneumatos, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Oh yes, it was Peter who wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, writing as he's fixing to die and warning his believers, those Christians who were suffering because of their faith in Jesus. It was he that said, "No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for holy men prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." That is, they were carried by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I'm telling you, the book you hold right in your hand, it's not a dead book. It's a live book. It's got God's authority. It's got God's life. We can live it, learn it, and love it. It is the power of the living God. And oh, bless God, Voltaire, that French infidel, once said, "The Bible will die in 100 years. Guess what? He's dead, and the Bible lives on. You can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. They tried to tear it apart. They tried to throw it in the fire. They tried to tear it to pieces. But brother, you can't get rid of the Word of God. You might as well spit in the wind if you think you can get rid of the Word of God. It's God's Word, and I love my Bible. Oh, yes. And so, where are you spiritually? Where are you spiritually? One grandma was sitting in church. She opened up her Bible, and out fell a leaf. You know, a leaf on a tree. Her little grandson looked there and said, "Mama, Grandma, look, there's Adam's underwear." I hope you got more in your Bible than a leaf, all right? Hey, look, I've got a quick number three. Where are you politically? Are you with the Bible? Where are you spiritually? How many today would say, "Pastor, I need to..." Wait a minute, I'm asking you a question now. Josiah ripped his clothes when the Word of God was read. What are you going to do? Are you going to be like water on a duck's back? I've heard that before. I've read about Josiah before. Are you going to obey the word? Not just hear it, but be doers of the word, James 1:22 says. What are you going to do today when God the Holy Ghost puts his finger on your heart and says, you know what? The word of God will build you up. It's the word. It's not legalism. It's a relationship. And God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. It's the power of the word. What are you going to do about the word? Are you going to say, Lord, I need to rebuild those broken down walls in my life. I need to spend time with you. Will you do that? Will you recommit? Rededicate your time with the Lord every day. You don't have to read 66 books in one setting, one chapter, a few verses, Psalms, Proverbs. Do a systematic study. Go through the Gospels. Go through the New Testament. Old Testament, whatever. Just stay in the Word. And let the Word get in you. All right, quickly, number three. Where are you prophetically? Are y'all okay? Say amen if you're all right. Amen. Where are you prophetically? All right, I want to take you to verse 21. Look at verse 21, please. Prophetically, how many believe that we need a word from God today? Come on, somebody talk to me. We need a word from God. We see what's going on, but who's got a word from the Lord? Look at verse 21, all right? What was the king's name? All right, good. Verse 21. Josiah says, go inquire of the Lord for me. And for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And then Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem. And then notice the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, I'm reading from verse 22, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. I've noticed that's the first time I've noticed that word. And they spake to her to that effect. I'm going to stop right there. And I want to tell you, summarize. Here's the summary of that whole account. What was the king's name? Josiah. Josiah got his group of people, and he said, I want to get six men, and here's what I want. I want to know what God thinks about what's going on in our nation right now. I want a word from God. How many know when you get a word from God, you got a firm foundation? Brother, you can take that to the bank. When God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. And so here goes Josiah. He says, go get a word from God. I don't care where you get it. Make sure it's a word from God. The men go back and they say, we got a word from God. Hey, we come back and hear Josiah. We got good news and we got bad news. How many know sometimes we get good news and bad news? Reminds me of the two teachers. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. Two teachers saw each other. They said, how you been doing? I've been doing good. I got good news and I got bad news, said one teacher to the other. The other teacher said, well, tell me the good news. The good news is I just got married. Oh, that's great. The other teacher said, well, no, that's not great. That's not good because bad news is he's three times my age. I said, oh, that's bad. I said, no, that's not all bad because he's a millionaire plus. He got a lot of money. Well, that's good. I said, no, it's not all that good because he's stingy with his money. That's the bad news. Don't look at the neighbor now. And then she said, well, that's bad. Said, no, it's not all bad because he built me a $25 million house. Oh, that's good news. Said, no, it's not all good. It's bad news. Why? Because a house burned down the other day. Oh, that's bad. Said, no, it's not all bad. It's good. Why? Because he was in it when it burned down. All right. Anyway. Hey, look, I got good news. I got bad news. Here comes the king. The king says, give me the good, tell me the bad news. And the men come and say, the bad news, king, is God's not happy with what's going on. I'm paraphrasing, you understand? God's not happy with what's going on. How many believe God's happy with what's going on in America? Come on, talk to me. I'm a red-blooded American. I thank God for our men serving in military, but I got to be honest with you, folks. I've got to be dead-level honest with you. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, and if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Psalm 11, verse 3 says, and the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. But oh, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let's say that together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. One more time. whose God is the Lord. And here comes them old boys. They said, I got news for you, King. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. God's going to stretch forth his mighty hand, and his judgment's going to fall on Judah and on the surrounding, even Israel. It had already fallen at that time. Well, does God mean what it says? You better believe God means what it says. A man's souls, that's what he's also going to reap, and our sin will find us out. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. That's Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Yes, it will. And so judgment's coming. But wait a minute, we got some good news. Tell me the good news. Here's the good news, King. God has seen that you were humble. And the word humble there is found in verse 27. Your heart was tender and thou didst humble. The Hebrew word is kalna. That means to be broken before God. Your heart was tender and humble. Question, in a moment when we give invitation, you going to have a humble heart? Are you going to have a haughty heart? Are you going to bow up? Say, I don't care what that preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I used to be that way, folks. I'm ashamed to tell you. I used to be that way. I used to be a self-made man. Can anybody identify with me? Until God showed me I was not a self-made man. Hey, we're not invincible. God can call your number at any time. Somebody say amen. You just think you're big and bad. You got to put you on your back real quick. God's a big God. He's a great God, but he's a mighty God too. And we don't play. He's not a man that he should lie. God is God. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I tell you, I reverence God. You better believe it. But wait a minute. Here's the good news, King. You're not going to die a terrible death. That is, you're going to get to go down in peace. Because you've had a heart that was humble before God. That's what the latter part of the chapter says. Now, I've got to close here. And we know that the king was eventually killed. Pharaoh in Egypt. Josiah. You got to see this last part. And I'll be done in just a moment. Thank you for your patience. Look at verse 29. This is good stuff right here. Where are you politically? Where are you spiritually? Where are you prophetically? Lastly, where are you practically? Look at verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together who? Are you sure it says all? How many says all? Yeah. Then the king sent and gathered together how many? All. Say it with me. All. He gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up unto where? The house of the Lord. Say it with me. House of the Lord. Yeah, the king knew that was an important place. He went to the house of the Lord. And all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Look at verse 31. And the king stood up in the place and made a covenant before the Lord to do what? To walk after the Lord. Good stuff, man. And to keep his commandments and his testimonies and statutes with all of his heart and with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in the book. And he caused all, look at verse 32, he caused how many? All that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and God of their fathers. And then verse 33, finally, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to do what? Serve. Even to serve who? Serve the Lord their God. Hallelujah. That is good stuff there. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. You see the point, don't you? Josiah goes to the house of God. He opens up the word of God. And he makes a covenant with his God. Says, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk in your ways no matter what. And then he looked at the people and said, what about you? Are you going to walk in the ways of God? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed right now. That's the question I want to ask.